So this is Navigating College Ministry. So welcome. I'm Claude. This is Pamela. This is my wife. We've been with Dove for 25 years, something like that. So we've discovered Dove about 25 years ago, and we got really excited by, you know, going to Westgate, discovering small group vision, and then leadership, and we would go back up to Vermont where we are all excited. I mean, the travel was, and so in 2001 we were gonna be anointed as the new Dove Church plant in Vermont. We had people coming from Canada. There were 16 people, 16 of us in our house from Connecticut, Canada, everywhere, coming to anoint us. We were going to go pick up Steve and Mary Prokopchek, that were our leaders. But it was 2001, September 11. So we went to pick them up in New Hampshire, and nobody was there because they were on the tarmac, thank God, and stayed there. So the Lord kind of, it was a funny time. We prayed and for this church plant, but really the church plant never happened. We had a young couple with us, and from the school we knew that the couple was, they were just recovering from a marriage struggle. So we had to send them away, and we said we multiplied right away, kind of. Anyway, the Lord had set, we didn't realize it, but in 2002 he came back to the ILC here, and Justo from Peru gave a call to reach out the young people. And we realized we were right. We have a small college. We are in a small town, 6,000 people. What? We have a college on our doorstep, 15-minute walk from us. And we were connected with the chaplain. There's a chaplain that gives a Sunday night service, and we were connected there. So we realized, wait a minute, there's plenty of young people there. Let's try to see what God can do. Since 2002 about, we've been there, checking, you know, trying to connect with students through the Sunday night service. And then we got involved a little bit more. We were able to do Bible study under the chaplain's assistance. There was a ministry of crew that was there just before us that kind of disappeared. So we kind of, it opened the door for us to be involved with the, there's a campus Christian club. It's a club, but I mean it's more than a club. So we are involved with them there. So that's where we are at. Do you want to pick up now? And it's been growing. It's been progressing. I mean, we've been praying for, you know, we had to pray for more diversity because it's a military college. It has both military and civilians. So we've been praying because it was only military for one point. At one time, reaching out, especially the first year, which are going through heavy training, so there's a good amount of stress on them. It's a good time to reach out to them and try to get them to this, the club. The club is led by those that, I mean, we are part of the selection with another, with a faculty. So we select the leaders of the club, and they lead the club. They try to reach out. They do games, you know. They do. So that's the way it works. And we are involved. We'd like to be more involved, but really the key, we believe, is to give them the vision of relational visions, which a lot of them don't have. They come from Christian, non-Christian background, from everywhere. And this year we just got our new leaders, and they are from, we have one from Rwanda. We have one from Uganda. Uganda. We have military. We have civilians. We have a display of all the aspect of different. So it's exciting. We just came back from a mission trip that we, for the first time, we decided the kids missed on the different mission trip that they can go to, you know, to different camp places. They missed on it. We decided, let's try to see if we can join. I don't know if you know Lee DiMatteo's up in Worcester. She's from Worcester. We knew that there was ministry on the street that some churches are giving. So we brought these 8 students that decided to come, and we told them, you're going to be challenged. You're going to be stretched out with Lee DiMatteo's. You're going
to
have.
You need to speak much louder.
Oh,
they
yeah.
I can barely hear.
We came back from this trip, and it was unbelievable. Do you want to speak now?
No, keep going.
Oh, I keep going. So we came back from this trip with 8 students on fire. I mean, they were rattling things on campus. They were. Another thing that we do is we connect. There's an amazing number of faculty that are Christians. You know, a lot of them are military. The military training. What's the, anyway, there's a lot of them that are Christian. There's a good number of Christian on campus, so we are trying to gather. We have 2 couples. One of them that is serving as the advisor for the club. We meet with them. They are from a different church. You know, they are not. So we have this couple that we meet with. We try to gather them and share with them. We invite them in our home, and we try to do small group. We listen to them. They are, you know, they are younger than us. And same thing, there's another couple. They are from South Korea, but he's professor too, and he gives Bible study. He has a slew of African that go to his Bible study. Anyway, we try to gather them in our home and just fellowship with them. And it's very precious because we're really building with those 2 couple. There's another couple we'd like to build with, but they are impossible to get. And they are important. But so that's where we are. It's really neat. It's encouraging. You know, in our older age, we're thinking, even when we can't go to the campus, there are stairs there. You know, it's a campus. It's a military campus. So there's a lot of places we may not be able to go, but we could move right beside the campus. They can move right now. We are 15 minutes away from them. Nevertheless, we could keep going and keep having them in our home. You know, that's another thing, especially the leader of the club. We have them as much as we can in our home. One of the main challenge we have for them is to, as a club leader, is to be united. I keep telling them, we try to let them deal with the administrative part of the club and programming and all of that. But once in a while we go there and we tell them, I share them the story early on some years ago. We went to one of their meeting again to encourage them. And we didn't try to get involved. And they are, you know, they are military, they are technical, you know. So they go, the programmer. And I watched the president of the club just go by, boom, 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 boom. And they were all coming from different classes. They were frazzled. You could tell they were exhausted, they were frustrated. And I grieve because I never intervened there. So I keep, this time, these years, we keep telling them, be a small group. Be, know each other. Care for each other before you go into business, preparing for this club meetings. Know where each one is at. Pray for each other. Your turn.
My turn.
Speak.
So one of the things that we have found really important is we walk the campus often. We try to walk the campus a few times a week. Up, down, all around. Not only just, the Lord said he would give us the land under our feet. And so that's really why we do it, so that we can That's that investment. That's the physical investment that we're making, walking on the campus. At the same time, as I'm walking, I'm praying for different students that I know, different professors, what might be going on a field, what the things that you see, asking the Lord to point out, what do you want me to see, Lord? What's really happening here? What's important? What's not important? And it's really, we've done the same thing with the town, but our investment is really on the campus. And so I would just urge you, if you are interested in a campus ministry, get yourself a presence on that campus. Start walking. Meet people. Look for a club. Is there a club? Is there a Christian organization? Who can you connect with on that campus that's going to help you get your foot in the door? Because too often I think we can do campus ministry from outside. The kids aren't going to come to you. You have to go to them. That's really what we found. It's like we need to go to them. We need to build a relationship with them. And the way that we build a relationship is you have value. You are important. You're important to God. You're important to us. We care about you. And so we really try to build relationship by listening, a lot by spending time and just, letting them say whatever they have to say, ask their questions, and then pour in, however we can pour in. And eventually, the relationships become two-way and not just one-way. But in the beginning, they start out kind of one-way. And so you have to be praying. You just have to be really invested in what God wants to do in that place. We always look for different kinds of access on campus. Like this, in the last couple of years, there have been events, lectures that have been happening that are open to the public. It gives us yet another access point for students, to meet faculty, to speak into lives, to hear what they're thinking. It's amazing the things that the students are involved in. It's amazing the level that they're thinking on, the level of the future that they're thinking on. It almost just takes me aback because I'm not ready for it. They're thinking about stuff it's like way over our heads. And we need to understand that. If we're going to minister to them, we need to understand that. It's a lot about their strength. When they come in, it's like, I can do anything. I can do anything. Well, no, you can't, because you really need God. And they don't understand that. There's a lot of confusion, a ton of confusion. Why do I need God? Who is God? What is faith? And so we meet weekly with two different groups. Claude meets with guys. I meet with girls. We meet in a conference room. I have conference room rules. It's like whatever gets said in here doesn't leave here. This is about building relationship with God and one another. We're going to learn how to trust one another. This is where you get to meet some of those friends that you're going to walk through 4 years with. These are things that they're all looking for, but they don't know how to find. And then we ask a lot of questions to help them think, because we find that they don't know how to make friends. Their whole lot, the kids that we're ministering to right now were all born after 9/11. The only major event that they've had in their lives has been COVID. It's really a pretty amazing thing to wrap your brain around, that COVID, if you think about probably all of you, there's been major stuff that that happened in the world in your life apart from COVID. And we were talking about it. I was talking about it with the girls one day, and they were like, wow, were you alive when the Challenger crashed? I can't imagine what that was like. And I was like, they were just pulling these things out of what they knew was history, But they had no idea. So we try to encourage them to build relationship and to ask honest questions. We bring scripture in. I usually ask them what they want to read, what scripture they want to read, who they want to find out about. This year, I found that I just felt like they didn't know the beginning of the scripture. They really had no idea. So we started in Genesis, and we just started with the creation story and Adam and Eve. And we really looked at it, and it was amazing. They were just like, wow, I never knew this. Wow, I can't believe this. And then we could move on, and we could move into Jesus. We had the reason. We had where it all came from. But they really didn't understand that. A lot of them don't have a Christian base. A lot of them maybe have experienced a youth group, but maybe haven't. And the other really crucial thing is almost all of them come from broken families. Almost all of them. I don't have one girl in a group of 10 that has a father living at home. Not one. A lot of them have been abused. A lot of their parents are drug addicts or alcoholics. It's really, and they're hungry, and they need love. So that's what we try to do, is give them love and teach them who the Father is. Show them that they have value. Value is so important. Identity is so important because they don't know. They just don't know. You go.
One of the things we want to highlight, so there's confusion, there's all kind of problem, you know, young age. With the guys, I didn't go to college, Bible college. I didn't go. I tell them both of us were Christian early on in our life. The Lord was calling us, but then we lived the great life, you know. We turned away from the Lord somehow. So we are there to tell them, you can follow what all your friends are following. You know, she has one girl that's openly sleep with her boyfriend. She likes to study a lot for the Bible study. I try to follow her on spending a lot of time studying. It doesn't work for me. So I find myself just praying and praying, the Lord, what do I bring to bring life to these guys? I mean, last fall, I had one guy. He was so faithful, and he was being transferring somewhere else. I gave all I could to this guy. I couldn't get him to talk, barely. This time I have at least 11 or 12 of them, but my heart is to see them interact and share and discover, you know, learn to pray together. I have some that have been amazingly, that have grown from, that come from solid family, some others that come from, same thing, no parents or parents that are gone. Of course, with the guys, I'd like to get them with their phone and say, let's get a hammer and smash the phones. But, you know, in my time, it was just bring the book and burn them. But I don't know what to do. I mean, the Lord has convicted me about addressing pornography, addiction, and I'm going to move forward next year really more, because I know, I mean, I've had a few come to me, and it's puzzling, but the Lord can do it. I mean, and what we are trying to do is be, I mean, again, listening, Lord, what are you doing, you know, where are you going with those guys, what else? We don't focus on the confusion. We let them, I mean, she has had often girls that were confused about their sexual, you know, who they were. We let them, because we believe that as they are part of the group, as they are, they'll discover, the Lord will show them that, you know, there's no need to be confused.
We try to be inclusive. Jesus was inclusive. He wasn't exclusive. He was willing to walk knowing who Judas was, knowing he was going to be betrayed, knowing his disciples were all going to fall away. He knew it. And he was inclusive. You don't see Jesus pushing anybody away. The only ones that you see him giving a hard time to are the Pharisees. And so we have lots of kids that they put their identity in everything but Christ. And one of the things that we are try to do is help them find their identity in Christ. So meeting the Father, meeting the Son, going into the Gospels, really looking at what Jesus did. I ask a lot of questions in my studies. And the other thing that I do is I try to create the scene. So I'll say, put yourself in their shoes, okay? You're one of these guys, and here's Jesus, and you're in a boat, and you think you're going to sink, and you're scared to death. You know, put yourself in their shoes. How would you feel? And then he does this, you know, and what were they thinking? Can you imagine? What were they thinking? So I try to move them to a place in their brain where they're thinking about other than what is written so they can relate to it. Because we all have places in our life where we're in the boat and where we feel like that. And the other thing is we try to be transparent. We are transparent about our lives. We live in front of the kids. We live who we are. We invite them into our home often. We feed them. Boy, do we feed them. And in lots of different ways. And I mentor kids. I mentor girls all the time. Every year I have at least 3 girls that I mentor. Sometimes I feel like I spend more time on the campus than I do in my house. But you need to build a place for yourself on campus where they know they will find you, where you can be accessible. You need to make yourself as accessible as possible and build a relationship. Just build. Start wherever you can start and build. There are lots of demands on their time. You have to be really flexible, just really flexible. You want to go? Go ahead.
No, I don't know what that was going to say.
This year, when we took them on a mission trip this year, the mission trip was called Engaging with God. And the usual mission trip that they go on is a service-oriented trip where they just go and they'll help somebody build a house or they'll move furniture for a military organization. And yes, they do that with Christians and they meet other kids, but they don't really get an opportunity to go deeper in their walk or to go deeper in their relationships with one another. So this year we brought 8 of them down to Worcester, to the Island Church, to Lee D'Amato's church. And the object was to go deeper with God. And before we left, we said to them, you'll all be stretched. We'll be stretched. You'll be stretched. So get ready. And we went, and we were stretched. We were all stretched. With the first day, we hit the road. We hit the road running, and went out in a winter storm and fed about 150 people in a street ministry. And they had to set up tents along a whole city block in slush and snow. They had to shovel before they could do that. And they got out there and they really did it. They worked. We saw them just come alongside people and pray. We found out that one of the kids that we'd brought was fluent in Spanish, and he was just ministering. He sat down and ate with people and just ministered. It was really beautiful to see. And each night when we would eat dinner together, two of the group would give like a life testimony, kind of how they had grown up, what their life was like, and how they had met God, and what was happening in their life with God, in their relationship. And then all of us would lay hands on them and pray. And we just watched God move so powerfully. We were able to teach on the gifts. We were able to teach on fivefold. We just like poured, four of us poured into these eight kids for 5 days. So, and it was so fruitful that when we brought them back to campus the second week in March, they began praying together every night at 10 o'clock, and they have been meeting every night at 10 o'clock, praying and bringing others in. So, I mean, and we said, you know, don't try not to rattle anybody when you do this. Like, let's not get the news media here. We don't need them here. But we do need you to be doing what God wants you to do. And that's what they're doing. And so we're pretty excited. It's because God is on the move.
I mean, what we want to highlight is the simplicity of it. You know.
So, does anybody have any questions? Can we answer anything? Can we bring you anywhere special? What's on your mind? So the question is, has security on campus or the rules on campus changed the way we, quote, do business, unquote? And I would say, no, it hasn't. I think partly because they're so used to seeing us that we belong there. I mean, we walk by the president's house. We go, hey, how you doing? He's not a believer. We're praying he's going to become a believer. We just met the new commandant, and we stood out on the sidewalk and chatted with him for a while. I mean, we just try to be who we are, part of the community, but we also try to be allies. When the security people, I went into the security offices with a friend of mine, and we prayed for all the security officers. We laid hands on one of them. He was depressed. So, I mean, I wouldn't say that the rules have changed. They've tried to make the campus safer. But it's just the presence. We carry Jesus with us.
Through the years, we have seen quite some changes. I mean, COVID brought some changes. The change that happened is that almost every year, we bring in new leaders for this Christian fellowship, and that's what changed. They come with new ideas. They come for a while for the campus, for the chaplain service on Sunday night. We were grieving. There was nobody to lead worship. The chaplain with his guitar with old songs, and we've been praying. And now for the last 10 years, maybe there has been a great worship team, and it's a challenge because every 4 years they leave, and they serve the worship team for 3-4 years, depending how busy they are. So we've seen change, you know, in the way the campus Christian club work, because they change every year. It's different leaders, different IDs, and really positive.
I think another part of it's like a revolving door ministry, because you lose one group every year and you gain a new group. And that new group, the half of them that are military, you have to work hard harder to get to them because they're in training and they don't have the same kind of access that the other kids do. They have their access is limited to 2 meetings a week. They can do church, they can do a Bible study, and that's and then the rest of the time they're under the military jurisdiction. So it's hard to get to know them. It takes us a little while longer. But by year 2, they're free. And so we can kind of work our way into their lives and build a relationship with them. The revolving door, it kind of keeps going after they leave because so many of them are military. They go out into the world. They go all over the world. They serve all over the world, which is real exciting to us. And some of them we hear from and some of them we don't. And the other thing that happens is we've gotten to pray with parents. We've had parents that have come a graduation weekend to our house, and we've prayed with them, we've cried with them. It's just, it's amazing how God works the relationships out. And when we see kids that are having problems, we pray into the problems, and then God seems to bring their connections, their family connections into our home. And it's just so, it's a very neat thing.
Other questions or?
Anybody else?
Yeah, go for it. So, breaking into campus, I mean, we didn't break into it. We just came to realize that the Lord had already set us up. You know, we were connected with this campus. So I believe if your heart and if the Lord is leading, He's going to open the doors. Yeah. And,
I would also say that there are campuses have a lot of different Christian organizations on them. Look for a contact in one of those organizations. Crew, there's Crew, there's FCA, there's there are places where you can meet someone, build a relationship with someone, and get your foot in the door. Yeah, or people that are not students, but that, because FCA will have an advisor. Crew will have a couple people that work there as regulars, staff. So if you can connect with those people, you'll have a way in.
You have also faculty sometime, maybe.
Yeah.
I mean, we are connecting with faculty. It's really wonderful. There's, you know, I'm praying with a man on campus, and the Lord is really moving.
Probably our biggest problem is wondering how to pass the baton at this point, because we're not getting any younger. Right.
But at the same time, also, one of my grievances is that, I mean, thank God, going to Lee DeMatteis and the church was presenting Dove more openly. We have not, you know, we're ministering with kids that come from everywhere. They are from any denomination, and we don't care. This is the body of Christ that we tell them, and the chaplain is the same. This is the body of Christ. We don't care. We care about growing with the Lord, and so my grievance is, you know, I'd like to present Dove much more, and, you know, Some kids are very curious. Noah came from Rwanda, and shortly after we met him, he had his father ask, "What's about this dove?" So we were able to pass him on to
Ibrahim and
Diana that were there a week after. met his father, that is a minister there. So you never know. But my prayer is that I hope a lot of those kids we've seen are going to be part of Dove at some point. Yes. And our children are grown up. We didn't get to have such wonderful children. I don't want to put them too far up, but those kids we are around, they are excited. It's exciting. They are hungry. Some of them, we send them away. We know the Lord is not too much part of their life. We have one that has been in Alaska for 5 years with the army. And I kept telling him, look for the church that's going to challenge you, not where you're going to be comfortable. And finally, last year, he came back and he said, you're not going to believe the church I go to. One of her sons.
It's really an Isaiah 54 ministry all the way around. I mean, when you talk about being barren, I mean, we have so many kids. It's so exciting. It's just that's the bonus. It's such a wonderful, wonderful thing.
Yeah, we have to, we need to hold on to things very loosely, yeah, though, because we just pour whatever we had, whatever we can, and the Lord has to do the rest, you know. We have to send them away, yeah, and we watch some say, I don't want to do anything with you anymore. Lord, you do it. We can't. We just, here it is. We lived the good life before. We spent enough years wasted. You can do that if you want. But let me tell you, the Lord has much better for you.
Yeah. Anybody else?
I think for us, it was just the presence. There's this chapel service that the chaplain, yeah, you know, a military chaplain gives on Sunday night. That was our first place to start. Yeah. You got to find
just
it.
Just be consistent. That's what I would say, be consistent. Pick a place. If it's going to be the club, pick a club, pick one person, build with them, and it'll catch. And don't expect it to happen overnight. Because really, when I said in the beginning, Diane Omandi sent me a picture of women in Africa beating the ground with sticks to prepare the ground for a corn crop. And the picture really spoke to me because I feel like the first 10 years, that's what we're doing for the first 10 years, was beating the ground with sticks. We'd have one student here, two students there, a couple people here. It was hard. It was disappointing. We would come here and we would go, there's nothing happening. But things were happening. God was at work. So just be prepared to beat the ground with sticks. If you don't have to, praise God. But you may have to.
We're church planters. I mean, tent makers.
We're tent makers. We have kids come live with us. We have kids come for food. We have kids who want cooking 101. Whatever is going to work. It's like having a home to go to is huge. If they can get off campus, go to a home, have a home-cooked meal, relax, let their hair down, boy, that is just the best. And so that's what we try to do, and we do it often. We have two kids that are probably going to live with us through the summer, so they need to save some money. One needs to save some money to pay for school. One needs to save some money while she goes to get a job because she's graduating. So that just, it's like, that's a gift. We get to have their presence in our home. We get to speak into their lives. We get to send them out, and we get to help them out at the same time. And they get family. So it's kind of like a win-win.
We had one stay with us during COVID, and man, what a blast it was. She hasn't given her life to the Lord yet, but there's no way she's not going to wake up one day. She's a daughter of ours. We see her regularly, and there's no way. We love up on her. One of the things I think I need to do, we need to do more, is challenge them to be givers, yeah. You know. Yes, they face all kinds of challenges, you know, college fees and all of that, but they still need to be able to start giving. I go back to when I was a Christian, I was a mess, I had no work. I started giving to a couple that was going to China. Same thing with time. At felt bad because I asked them to do something. But no, they have time. They have time to be on their phone looking at this. Garbage, you know.
Claude has a wood cutting ministry. It's the girls love to come and learn how to use the wood splitter. They love to stack wood. They love to take the chainsaw and learn how to cut down trees. So, you know, and the guys want to know how to cook. So it's pretty interesting. We have skills. We all have skills that we can share. We all have stuff that we can share. We just have to be asking God, okay, God, what do you want? What do you want from me in this? So go out there and capture some kids' hearts.
I mean, they are at a crucial time. I think, I don't know where I was reading. Oh, yeah. Apparently, 19 out of 20 of us are saved before we are 25 years old. 1 out of 10,000 after 25. 1 out of 50,000 after 35. They are at such a crucial age. It's you know, college ages, and even before, it is a key to bring. You know. You have questions. You know. We were young, we had questions, and somehow we never had anybody to challenge us to say, I wanted to go to seminary, but I was told, nah, you can't learn Latin. So I felt no good. I drowned in my own self for years. But the Lord, you know.
More God. Really, just more. More of all of it. More kids, more prayer, more worship, more of you, especially more of you. And just help us.
I think my prayer also is those two couples, those two Christian couple that we are kind of ministering to. They are on the campus. They are one of them is the advisor for the club, and we are really building relationship with those two couple. They are younger. They are on the campus. One of them is giving a Bible study. The other one is, and we are kind of trying. My hope is to see them gathered together. They were just in the same church, but one of them moved to another church. They are working together. But anyway, my prayer is to see more with these two couples, because I think they could easily take after us in 20 years when we are gone.
I think another part of that prayer also is that we would see each of those couples learn how to work together as a team and be one, because they're not yet.
But it will come.
But it will come, because when we minister to them, that's how we minister. And we have precious time with them. So if you think about us and you happen to be praying for us, boy, you could pray for that. Okay. Thank you so much. Sure.
Yes,
sure.
Please.
So we'll say amen, and we'll just do that.